Welcome to We're Done Here, an emotional wellness comedy podcast. I'm Jeff Waters.
And I'm Mika Mo.
Hey, Mika, how was your week?
My week was good. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's fall, so things are moving rapidly. How was your week, Jeff?
It was good. I'm like I said, I'm getting my life back, so I'm being able to leave my house a bit more. But I'm still, of course, spending an inordinate amount of time on like social media. And I got all fired up the other night because there was this woman who on Twitter who lives in somewhere in Queens, I think like Woodside or something.
Okay. Yeah, what's that represent?
But she was like, can people please start being normal about NYC? I don't need to see any anniversary post of how long you've lived here. Yeah, I was not impressed with that take. So
you know I'm a third generation New Yorker, just everyone know. Wait, what happened? I'm confused. How long? What was she talking about?
I guess because I do this every year. I've lived here 3 years, and I always share my from 3 years ago. I've been like, I've been here 3 years. Like,
qué lindo, so cute. I get it.
And she was just being like super obnoxious about it. And then she and some like Twitter gay had a little back and forth, like conspiring with each other.
Twitter gay. Okay. There's gay Twitter, there's black Twitter. Okay. Got it.
But he was just like, yeah, I was just, me and so and so were in our DMs talking about this exact same thing. And she was like, yeah, I mean, people wouldn't act this way about Boise, Idaho. And I'm like, yeah, because it's Boise, Idaho.
It is Boise. No. You know what's so funny? Because I'm just going to interject as, you know, a native New Yorker. So unless you've been here for like over 10 years, we're kind of indifferent towards you just because it's a transient. A lot of people come here and we don't know how long they're staying. And we're not committed to you until you have to be here for a decade.
Well, and I have no idea if she moved here a month ago and is now living in like Woodside. Or if she born and raised there.
Wait. Oh, so we don't even know her. We don't know her origin story.
No.
Okay, I got you.
I just, the fact that so many people jumped on it, like liked it and retweeted it, gave me this impression of either one, they've never lived here, so they don't want to hear about New York at all. Or two, like, I feel like a lot of them are just like, I'm so cool that even New York, as great as it is, doesn't inspire me. It doesn't move me. I'm that cool.
I mean, we're the best city in the world. Let's be honest. Okay.
So I just like retweeted it, and I had like no idea like if she's one of these like combative people that was going to try and come for me, which she didn't, thankfully. Because
she's not a New Yorker, then we're highly combative.
But I just retweeted it, and I was like, as someone who grew up in a small Alabama town that was so conservative and regressive that it kept me from coming out until I was 25, and as someone who spent 2 years saving up money to be able to move here, I'm not going to pretend that this is Boise. I'm not going to pretend that this isn't like the cultural epicenter of the world.
Yes, that's the kind of energy I like, Jeff.
She should move to Boise, and then when she has nothing to do, when she doesn't have museums or Broadway shows or decent bars and like only three kinds of food, then like let her do that for 6 months, because when she comes back, she'll be like kissing the dirty sidewalks and like appreciation.
Most definitely. Okay, I approve. As a third generation New Yorker, I approve this message.
I know. I feel like the city should like hire me to like hype. I can do like the travel ads that run in like the Albuquerque airport.
No, not exactly, because we love you, Jeff, but we don't want more of you coming.
Oh, so anyway, so I'm still on social media too much, much to my detriment. But I mean, it's not just on there. Like, clearly people have just lost their mind and forgotten how to behave in general, because I happened to be on the Upper East Side Saturday afternoon for like another appointment. And it just like lined up that it was a good time to, I was literally like walking past a movie theater and it was starting in like 15 minutes. So I was like, okay. So I went to see Venom 2, which was.
Oh, wait, that's out?
That's out.
Damn it. I'm usually up on the superhero movies, but God, I am not going to movie theater, but damn it, I need to see Venom. Conundrum.
Well, I couldn't really appreciate it because, like, the audience, half the theater was losing their minds. They were, like, up and down constantly. I was like, unless you have, like...
Wait, which street were you on?
This was the AMC Orpheum on, it was, like, I think it was, like, East 89th or something?
Yeah, they weren't black? They were losing their mind? Okay. Because, you know, we tend to talk in our movies. Yes. That's
well,
what we
if
like
it,
to do.
I don't mind going to see a horror movie and, like, having people talk at the screen. I know mm-hmm. that's, like, a trope of, like, black people. but it wasn't even that. It was just, like, everyone in there was, like, having their private conversations. And, like, there was, I guess, like, a 12-year-old and his mom directly behind me. And they were like, she was like, do you want any more candy? And he's like, no, not right now, but maybe later. And she was like, okay, well, if you do, it's this whole conversation.
Wow.
Like,
oh, so we forgot how to be at the movies. That's
I think it's because
like.
Everyone's been at home for 18 months and you just like, I guess you can do what you want in your living room. Mm. So now you're treating it the same, which was driving me insane.
Interesting.
I like, and it was one of those, I have that AMC A-list thing
yeah,
where
yeah,
I can
yeah.
see three a week. So
oh,
technically it was like free, not yes. really, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I like, so considered just walking out. I was like, I mean, I have two more to use this week, even if I want to see this at a different theater at
yeah.
a different time. But I stuck with it for the whole thing. It was an okay movie. Although
it was okay?
It was...
Don't tell us. I got to watch it because I need to keep up on my Venom. You know, if for all you Marvel heads out there, I don't know if you're out there, but I'm one. Like, you know how this is now part of our universe, our Marvel universe, as it relates to Spider-Man. So we're invested. Go on, Jeff. Sorry.
No. Well, I was going to ask, do you know if they're planning to... Because right now, these first two movies have been completely separate from the Marvel universe, as
yeah.
best I can tell.
Yeah.
Do you know if they're planning on integrating, like, Venom and Tom
so
Hardy and
if
whoever?
You look at the geek blogs and whatever we watch or whatever, we hope that that's what's coming. We don't think it'll be anytime soon, but eventually we assume that Venom has to enter the Marvel universe because Spider-Man's there. And currently, right now, Marvel and Sony are sharing the Spider-Man franchise, right?
Okay.
So we hope that this is something that's going to happen. We'll see, though. I don't think it will be... I don't know if... Sony's been, like... They've been a bunch of assholes, honestly. And I don't think they're willing to give Marvel, like, the you know, that franchise. Not that I know. The fanboys do not attack me, okay? I will cry racism because I'm a black woman. But, no, because the fanboys are... usually the opposite of me, but like essentially we think that there will be some crossover, but we're not exactly sure because Sony's been this is all they have. Sony really doesn't have anything without Spider-Man.
And then who owns X-Men, or do you know?
So X-Men is definitely going over to Marvel.
Okay.
That's a thing. Like, that's happening. Like, that's what we've discussed. So Fox owns X-Men.
That's what I
owned
thought.
X-Men, in a sense. But that deal has been, you know.
And so Dark Phoenix would have been the last X-Men movie under the...
Fox
brand or whatever.
Exactly,
okay.
exactly. We hope, we pray, because Dark Phoenix was trash. And that's, like, one of the best sagas of X-Men, honestly.
Like, from the comics?
Like, yeah. Like, okay. That, I mean, that's legendary. That's, like, one of the best, like, ever. Like, ever, ever. Like, X-Men comic books, like, Dark Phoenix is, like, a pretty important story.
Okay. Well, and they showed the trailer for the new Spider-Man where it's, like, was it the multiverse or something?
Yes, which is, I'm going to get into the multiverse later, y'all. That's what we talk about. Yeah, but it's all connected. Marvel's is, I mean, Kevin Feige, I just want to kiss that man. He's just so great.
Well, the trailer for the new Spider-Man looked really good. Venom was okay, but I'm sure I probably would have enjoyed it more if people had behaved themselves.
I understand.
Although I will say at the very end, and this is not a spoiler for anything, this was just a very weird creative choice. There's like a sincere moment where Venom, like, he's like, as Osho says, and does an Osho quote.
Mm.
Do you know Osho?
I have no idea who the hell that is.
Okay, so remember how I talked about my obsession with Wild Wild Country, that cult that
oh,
came over
yeah.
from India?
And I thought it was a wildlife show. Yes.
No. So the leader of that cult, I mean, there was the woman who I'm like obsessed with, Ma
yeah.
Nanshila, who was like second in command but really running things.
Mm-hmm.
But the top guy, he like had a proper name, but he went by Osho.
Oh.
So I'm like, really, Venom, you're pulling like cult leader quotes to like have a sincere moment here at the end, like that's an odd choice.
Interesting. I like that.
So so I could have done without that piece for sure, regardless of the audience, but in any case.
Mm.
So what's going on with you?
So it's fall. So I'm not like basic white girl fall, like, oh my god, pumpkin spice, oh my god, Uggs, oh my god, anything like that. What I love about fall is the best time to be in New York City. I say, because everything's open. And as you know, we've been on lockdown for, like, I don't know, forever. And as you mentioned last week, Broadway's open, right? And everything's open. There's so much comedy. I'm, like, freaking out. Dave Chappelle's been doing shows at The Stand all week. Like, Chris Rock was there last night. I mean, you can catch me at a venue, I don't know, not near you, but somewhere. I'll be somewhere performing all the time. It's just, I just love New York City in the fall. Like, there's New York, it all kicks off after Labor Day, and we have New York Fashion Week. And then from there, it's a fucking marathon. And I just love it. I'm obsessed with it. So I'm obsessed right now with New York in the fall. I'm bringing back my show, Purple Park Comedy, which was a great show going on in Astoria Park, which, of course, I grew up across the street from my whole life. But we're bringing it back to our podcast venue, QED Astoria. So any listeners in the New York area, it's going to be a monthly show. So follow me on Instagram to figure out what updates are coming for that. But I'm just happy, like, I fucking love this season, and I just think it's the best season ever. So I'm just living my fall moments, all the dinners, all the entertainment. Art is back. Like, I don't know. I'm just obsessed. I'm obsessed in living for fall. That's pretty much what's happening. Also, what happened today was very devastating. Our listeners will be able to tell what day it is based on this commentary, but fucking Instagram and Facebook are just out all day.
It's ridiculous. I tried to message you because that's usually how you and I, like, communicate, like, for the outline for the show, when we're going to record and things like that. So I, like, kept trying to send you a message on Instagram, and it's, like, twirling and poor connection. So then I moved to Facebook. Mm-hmm. Same thing.
Yeah.
Finally, I just texted you. I was like, hey, I hate to bother you in, like, a real form of communication, but all these other platforms are down.
No, it's, first of all, everyone contact. First, I contact everyone on Instagram. Like, you know what's so funny? Because it kind of gets into our topic we're talking about today. I met this guy. I joined Tinder briefly, but we'll talk about that a little later. I joined Tinder for like 2 months after I was we didn't really break up, me and my COVID boo, but we kind of like, whatever. We all moved on, whatever, because it was COVID boo.
Right.
But basically, this guy was like, "Let me get your Instagram," and I'm like, "For me, that's really personal. You know everything about me if you follow me on Instagram." And granted, it's okay for a stranger to know everything about me, but like, you do, I don't know, like, this is more personal than a phone number. But yeah, I'm cut off for like show bookings, I'm cut off for my friends, the memes I want to share that day, you know, light flirtation, who's watching my stories,
right?
Like, who am I sending hearts to? Like, there's a whole, like, it was so funny because I know Instagram's down, like, physically know it's down, but mentally, I literally found myself this afternoon going to my phone and looking for the app multiple times just to be disappointed that it's still down. So this is an addiction issue. Maybe, like, this will train us for the future or something.
Well, no, I had the same problem where I knew it was down, but I just so instinctively, if I'm, like, watching TV, which is what I was doing this afternoon, I just, like, click on it. And so I kept doing that, and then it would twirl, and I was like, oh, shit, it's still down. Like, of course, because I just checked it 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, I know.
So.
Yeah, it's like a nervous, oh, my God, I did it again. Anyway, so even though I'm excited for the fall, I feel like this Instagram face, even losing a day, for me, I feel like I can't promote what's coming up this week.
Right.
Nothing. Like, I'm just, I don't know what's going on. Like, what's going on tonight? Who knows? Like, Instagram and Facebook are down.
No, it's like those, like, dystopian movies where, like, all of electricity goes down, but it's just, like, these social media platforms, and it has the same effect.
And WhatsApp, which I do a fair bit of flirting on WhatsApp as well, and I have, like, at least 2 really important friend group chats on there, so, yeah.
Like, the only time I use WhatsApp is... Facebook has their own dating thing within Facebook, the mm-hmm. Facebook app.
Oh, ooh, child, have you been on
I'm
that?
On everything.
Oh, my God, Jeff, how's that Facebook app?
So it sucks.
Because I'm like, I am not on, they've been sending me ads. I'm just like, are you serious? I fucking hate Facebook. Now you want me to date on Facebook? Like, please share more about this.
So I try it, but I never have any luck. It's always matching me with guys in like DC, Philadelphia, like much too far away for me to ever like go on a date with.
Yeah.
But on the rare occasion I connect with someone in New York and we message, like, and I know this is coming because it's happened so many times now, about 10 messages in, they'll start talking about, like, cryptocurrency.
No.
Yeah, yeah. And then they'll ask for my WhatsApp. And
no.
And so now I just know to shut it down. But, like, in the beginning, I didn't. So I was just like, oh, I guess they're, like, into Bitcoin or whatever. Yeah, here's my WhatsApp. And then they get on there and they do, like, the hard sell.
Oh, my God. That's a – you know what's so funny? There's a difference between guys being on dating apps and women being on dating apps, because I've heard men say they get solicited a lot on dating apps. And I – honestly, I've been maybe catfished once, but I've never been solicited. So – it's an interesting dynamic.
Oh, my roommate, who's straight, like, got... I mean, we knew pretty quickly she was a catfish, so this, like, we started kind of going along. I say we, because I was like, write this, write
we're
that.
We're all into the,
what did she say?
We're all involved.
Yeah, but she was just, like, fully psychotic and went on for, like, months and, like, built up this whole life and was, like, sending him really detailed things. She was like, oh, I went to the Spencer School in Manhattan.
Oh, yeah, my friend went there.
This girl's never done any of this.
Okay.
I'm still not convinced she's not like an old Russian man.
Oh, you never know.
But it was just, she knew these like really specific, like you had to be in New York for a while or you had to waste a lot of time Googling.
Mm.
So she was very good at what she did. But like, it just became clear after like the third time, she's like, oh, I want to get together. And then like something at the last minute, she disappears for a week.
I get what you're saying. Well, this brings us to our topic this week, right, Jeff? We're talking about dating and relationships. And we're talking about your horrible experience. Well, the guy's getting capped. Yeah, we don't get women. We don't get solicited. We just have to deal with toxic men.
Yeah, I don't even know what the point of the catfishing is for like straight guys, because I've had like multiple roommates in the past this has happened to. And
do you only live with straight guys?
Pretty much. I've
so weird.
I've never lived with a gay guy.
You're like the straight. You're like the straight guy's gay guy. You're Pete Buttigieg.
Ooh. I'm joking. Walking out of this podcast right now.
No, no, I don't mean to call you Pete.
No. Like, I just end up randomly with people, but I found out, like, I've never lived with a gay guy, and then I found out this one guy that I lived with in Savannah. After I moved out, I found out that he had come out as bisexual after I moved out.
Okay.
And I still don't think he's, like, super out, so I'm not going to, like, name names or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But unless there's anyone else, like, in the closet, that's the only, like, gay or bi guy I've lived with.
Oh, wow. So you have insight on the straight man's world, which I fail
it's
at
terrifying.
Constantly.
But, no, I don't understand why they get catfished, because, like, it goes on forever, and I'm like, what? I've asked them, I've, like... is she asking you for money or like, and they're like, no, she just keeps like saying we're going to meet and then putting it off. But like,
those people are married usually.
I maybe that's what it is. And they're just like getting some fulfillment of like, a virtual life that's separate from their own.
Yeah, exactly. It's just some suburban mom who's bored, honestly.
I don't know. That sounds exhausting. Like, I do what Twilight author did and write some fan fiction and get your book published.
Everyone loved that.
So. But yeah, so we are talking about dating and relationships, and we're both single right now, so if that's...
And ready to mingle! No, that's okay.
If that tells you about the past. But I mean, for me, it's like super weird, and I don't know. With me not coming out until I was 25, before I came out, I was never, like, doing anything on the DL.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, legit, when
explain to our viewers or listeners who don't know what the DL is.
Oh, the DL is the down low. It's like...
sorry, I just love that word.
Behind the scenes, in the closet. Or I mean, it doesn't even have to be, like, gay
related.
There
was a whole song about the keep it on the down low.
Right.
Anyway, sorry, but go on.
I thought you were going to start singing Kelly Rowland's Kisses Down Low.
Oh.
And I was like, I was obsessed with that song for 6 months. That's such a good song. So I wasn't doing anything like in secret or whatever. So I legitimately didn't have a date with a guy until like 3 months after I came out when I was 25.
Oh, wow.
So then at 25, I'm starting to have like the real life dating experience that... you know, all straight people and, you know, queer people who came out at an earlier age than me had when they were like 14, 15.
That's true. But some people are late bloomers and don't, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's special cases, but just by and large, I feel like I was going through the motions of, like, first-time things mm-hmm. at 25 that, like, oh, everyone around me I know did this at 15, 16, 17.
Especially because they all were married by the 20s.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it was just, there was definitely a huge learning curve. Mm-hmm. And I, the first guy I dated, he had only recently come out also. And he, I think, had done a little bit like sexually on the down low, mm-hmm. but not in terms of dating. So there's still like that emotional maturity.
So two closet cases. Oh, sorry.
Right. Basically.
That's too much.
So we talked online, I think, for like a couple days, mm-hmm. like literally like 3 days, first date. A week later, we were like official.
Oh, look at you, like lesbians. Even.
Basically. And so it was just a huge mistake because like it ended after 4 months, but I would say even like 2 months into it, probably even 6 weeks into it, that like puppy love thing yeah. had worn off and I was like still into him, but he wasn't into me, but he didn't want to be the villain and do the breakup thing. But neither of us had like the emotional maturity to just like, okay, this isn't working out.
Yeah, the
like
jig
it
is
sucks.
Up.
Goodbye. That dragged out for like another 2.5 months and just ended very, very messy. And, and yeah, I just think that that's the way that that was of this, like, knowing it's over but not willing to talk about it because you feel like you're going to be the bad guy. And really, I mean, if you do it in, like, a kind way, you're not the bad guy.
No.
You're just telling the truth.
Yeah.
But that's something that I think a lot of people learn in their teenage years, that I was 25 and he was 23 and we were, like, learning that together through trial and error in like a big messy, and it's like more public when you're an adult too.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you've like introduced them to like your adult friend group.
Oh, see, I'll be doing that. I'll be nobody know but nobody, but I got you.
So, you know, so there was that, and then there's just been a lot of like delayed learning in my dating life.
Okay.
And I hope now, 10 years later at 35, that I am kind of like on par with my 35-year-old peers across mm-hmm. all sexualities,
okay.
I hope.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I do think that not only for that actual relationship that went on for 4 months, but just a lot of situations of me talking to guys or having first dates that never led to second dates.
Okay.
I think a lot of that had to do with me, like, not really understanding the true nature of how adult relationships work.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Because for women, I feel like everything is filtered through the eyes of media and television and what dating really means. And I have a whole joke of talking about how vampire shows distorted my view of dating.
Oh, my God. Well, no, you definitely need to get into that. I don't know that it was so much by media. I think it was more of me, like, hanging on to like a heteronormative expectation.
Oh yeah, because
I
was to give that up.
Well, yeah, but I was like 27, almost 28 before I gave that up.
Mm.
So like I didn't lose my virginity until I was 25, almost 26.
Mm-hmm.
Second guy, so with that guy that I just talked about, second guy a year later, we had also dated for like a hot second, but I was like, oh, I'm not hooking up with someone I'm not dating. So anyway.
Oh, yeah. That sounds better than no.
Well, it's just like, especially in the South.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and who, like, you don't have to be dating to hook up with people. What are you talking about?
No, but I didn't accept that until I was like 27.
Oh, wow. That's so cute. Oh,
well, I mean, it's messy. It's messy, but it took me until I was like 27 and had been like kind of dating for 2.5, almost 3 years to kind of realize that like these things are not like completely melded together, like inseparable. Like it can be. And obviously it's good if you like, you know, have good sex and a good relationship and have a good relationship that's also where the sex is good. But yeah, it took me like almost 3 years to be like, no, these can be separate things if you want them to be, and that's okay. And so, you know, like now and for the last few years, I just kind of like decided for myself, like, if I'm in a moment where I'm single and I'm not getting like the emotional fulfillment that I would get from a relationship,
yeah.
I'm not also going to like force myself to suffer the consequences of not having like the physical like component of that.
Yeah, you so, and I be married to hook up. Jeff.
Yeah, so now like I'm a Grindr staple. So.
Oh, okay. So you not now you out here in the streets. She belongs to the streets. No, joking.
No, I mean, and still with this freaking back surgery, I still have not made it all the way back to the streets, but I'm like counting down the days. I'm like, when is my follow up with my surgeon to get cleared to be back in the streets? But yeah, I mean, it's just, it's a lot of learning that. And I mean, I don't know anyone else who was almost 28 when they realized that like, you can mess around with someone that you're not in a relationship with, you know?
Hell yeah. That's very interesting.
So what was your dating experience like? Hopefully much different than that.
You know what? It's so interesting because I feel like, I don't know, because I mentioned the whole vampire thing.
yeah, I want to hear about that.
I just want to be bit in the neck. No, but essentially... I wasn't really like, I wasn't one of those people that when I was younger, I was like doing this avid dating or whatever. I guess I lost my virginity at a normal age, like not super young, like 14, but definitely like 17. Had my first boyfriend at like 16. I met him in the AOL chat room. I forgot his name, but my name was Tears626 because, you know, 90s and like, you know.
Emo.
Yeah. We're so sad. Live. Late 90s. We were both into Marilyn Manson. Like, it was cool. Chinese boy from Chinatown. Weird. But anyway. But anyway, so literally, I spent my whole life, like, dating online, essentially. Like, that's our generation.
Right.
How we came of age or what have you. And I thought, like, my mom basically always told me these boys ain't shit. Like, from the time I was a little girl, she's like, they ain't shit. So, like, you have this mentality. Not that you have this mentality that guys ain't shit or whatever, but you're on the lookout for bullshit.
Right.
So, constantly, like, just, like, kind of, like, you could just be able to decipher who's a piece of shit, who isn't a piece of shit. But I don't think that really saved me. I think I mentioned him briefly in the relationship we were talking about my eating disorder podcast. I remember I had a boyfriend that was, like, like he was a recovering alcoholic, he was a little older. And honestly, before him, I hadn't had that much relationship experience, but the guy I dated right before him was extremely toxic.
Okay.
And like kind of a gaslighter and like someone who would put me down even. Granted, we only dated for like 2 months before I met this other guy, but for some odd reason, dating that other guy, who was an ex-addict or whatever, he was just really mature and emotionally mature.
Right.
And he taught me a lot. He was like, that guy sounds, you know, that guy sounds toxic. I don't like that. He gave psychological terminologies, which is 19. I was like, I don't know what he's talking about, but he right. I don't like the way he was talking to me, and I don't really need to be disrespected like that. But anyway, so being in that relationship, essentially, that relationship was also toxic, but in its own way, because that guy was older, I was in college, and he wanted to, like, control my life in some way.
Right.
But, like, whatever. Shout out to him, because you know what? He did bankroll, like, college parties a lot. But that was his form of control. But, like, who cares? It was cute in college. Like, we remember the Prosecco, okay? But that relationship was problematic in its own right. But it's like, how do you want to be talked to? How do you want to be managed? So definitely from growing up, from my mom, from that guy, like, just no disrespect. You can't be a guy that disrespects me. And I'm not gonna let you in my life. So I've been lucky in that regard that I learned that lesson very, very early on. But as you said, I'm single. For me, I kind of met the love of my life at 25, and then fell out of love with them at 31.
okay.
So like it's so interesting because this person I thought I was like this is the person I was deeply in love with. I'm gonna spend the rest of my life with them. But looking back at it now, I'm thinking I would never ever like if I were to have married that person, I would have been so unhappy. So here I am single and like very, very happy, right? But like going back to the vampires, in general fantasy as well, I just have this view of dating that, like, you know, I like men to be men. I love the gender roles, which is kind of problematic, right? I'm trying to let go of that, but the idea of men being men and women being women and like just guys knowing how to fix stuff. I don't know. Maybe it's because my dad's like a manly man, but I just. And these men aren't men anymore that people complain about. But my problem is because, like, I want a manly man, but you have to be highly progressive and, like, have these feminist values. It doesn't exist. Like, whatever I'm thinking about in my head don't exist. And I don't hang out. First of all, I'm always with the queer community, so never actually with straight guys and where they are, and also hate being with them in their circles. And basically spend most of my nights at, like, gay bars and stuff like that. I've thought about being a lesbian. Sexuality is a choice because, crap, I still love dick, unfortunately. And some of these soft studs, they're just so hot. Like, some of these girls are just, they're so hot, but... The penis thing.
Right.
Damn it. But whatever. Maybe one day, like, if you're a hot stud out there, like, and you want a project, they don't.
They might. You never know.
Well, I'm putting it out there. You know what I mean? But anyway, basically, I am happily single, but also, like, I haven't even worked through my relationship issues yet.
Okay.
Because, like... For me, in this view of dating, what I want a man to be, and like, I want them to know how to fix things and like know how to like plan dates and like do all these like not grand gestures, but just like effort.
Right.
And like these guys just have no effort. Like, I feel like I don't know who trained them, but like basically whoever trained them is like. It's failing. So the guys who do, I end up going for the guy who does put an effort, but not necessarily the best match. Like, the perfect guy for me is probably some horrible conservative man, but we will agree on nothing. So
doesn't have longevity.
It doesn't. I mean, we're not even getting past the first date because, like, it's weird. Conservative guys love me. I think because I'm curvy. So they're like, oh my God, she knows how to bake a cake or something. I don't know what they think, but they're obsessed with me. Like, super Christian, super conservative. I live over here. They're like, they're obsessed with me. But it's like, no, I want a weird man who. Who lives with my perfect man's like a weird New York City guy who's just like single for no reason. Like, I'm just obsessed with that weird flighty character.
Did you watch Sex and the City?
Unfortunately, yes. Which I liked it at the time.
Is Aiden your perfect man?
On paper, but not in real life.
Okay.
Like, you know what I mean? Because Aiden's perfect, but Mr. Big is like the New York City hotshot guy. So that's that's the toxic masculinity I like. And that's the toxic masculinity we all like, unfortunately. It's really, yeah, I haven't cracked the code on it yet. I haven't even gone to therapy for my dating issues, but it was actually really funny because I was briefly on Twitter, Tinder for about two months, yeah.
Okay.
But I wasn't really paying attention to it because, like, whatever, I have other things to do because I'm that type of person on the apps that, like, never does anything and this, like, waits for it to accumulate likes and messages. And when I'm drunk, I'll be like, oh, I'm bored. Let's see what's happening. Anyway. Because I just got over my pandemic boo, whatever. I dated my neighbor all pandemic, which was a great pandemic scam. It was just really cool.
That's convenient.
It was super convenient. And we got along well, but he's highly problematic. But like in the way that I like, right? Like totally immature, 30-something year old guy, like has not grown up at all. I'm highly immature, so basically we would act really immature together. And it didn't matter because it was the pandemic, and, like, we knew this wouldn't last, so who cares?
Right. It wasn't something serious you needed to, like, tend to, so
no,
it's just fun.
But that's the problem. It's like, what's all this fun about? I don't know. I'm just having a good time. But, yeah, I was on Tinder briefly after that. I was like, oh, let me find a new – people ask me what I'm looking for. No idea. Like, it's based on the person, honestly. And so I met this guy, and I was telling my friend about it, and she was like, you both have huge egos. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, you're both like in a pissing match with each other. And like, no one's going to ask each other out on a second, third date because you're both waiting for the other person to ask each other out. And this was fucking enlightening to me because I don't think of myself as like a huge ego person or even a type A person. But she looked at me like I had five heads and like, are you fucking crazy? So that's how in tuned I am with myself. But it was so weird. So I did ask the guy out. So like, oh, would you like to blah, 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 or whatever. And it was so funny because after I did that, he was all over it. Like, he was really into it.
Okay.
But then I completely lost interest.
Because you had to ask him out?
Exactly.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, but like, this doesn't work for me. Needless to say, I'm a problematic person. And I probably need to go to therapy for, like, my dating problems. Because, like, the only thing I can think of, like, because, like, I hate Taylor Swift, but, like, her song, Blank Space, like, because we're young and we're reckless.
Yeah.
I got a blank space baby, and I'll write your name. It's going to be, like, it will leave you with a nasty scar. But, like, you know what? I got a long list of ex-lovers. So I'm completely immature. I haven't dealt, like, I don't know what I'm looking for. I'm not really looking for anything. I'm just looking to have the time of my life and to live my best life. And, like, if you're, like, super serious and, like, conservative in nature and want to have kids, like, I'm just not your girl.
Right.
So, yeah, I have to look into that. Like, I'm looking, but I'm not. So, yeah, problematic for sure.
But I think looking but not, I mean, that's what I'm doing. Like, I'm on all these sites, but, like, I certainly, like, my late 20s, I felt very, like, I was upset that I was single.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I don't care.
I don't, it's, like, it's weird because I know a lot of women, like, they're, like, it's, like, their goal to look for a man. And it's, like, you know what? I'm so goal-oriented and I have so many goals. If I wanted to be, I never wanted to have kids. So that's, like, this thing for me. Like,
right.
I don't want kids so I don't have to make certain sacrifices. Like, I don't have to find a guy by XYZ time or whatever.
Right.
But, like, what do you want in a partner? I am still figuring out. I have no idea.
I mean, I just like the sort of dichotomy that you mentioned and what you like, I mean, it's not the same for me, but I'm just kind of all over the place and what I'm looking for. And it's like, no one like that exists.
Yeah.
I myself am not even that person. So like, how is it fair for me to like expect some other dude or like a series of dudes for me to choose from? You know, to be like that. So,
no, most definitely. No, it's cool. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
And I don't know what part of it is like, should I like compromise because I've otherwise pigeonholed someone that's never going to exist. So I need to compromise for that. I don't know. It's very hard to find the balance in compromising and opening yourself up to possibilities and opportunities versus I don't ever want to be someone who's settled. Ever.
Yeah, I'm not settling for anything. But that's like chronic New York, like, that's like you, that's why you have a city full of like 40-year-olds just single as hell. Like, it's dead. Like, I have friends who are just never married. I even have a friend who's like almost 50. He's a good looking guy. He's just never, ever settled. I don't even think he's ever had a serious girlfriend as long as I've known him. But you have this perpetual Peter Pan syndrome. But it's like, do we have to be coupled up? I don't know. Like, I'm not really sure. I do think there's something to be said for companionship.
Right.
I want healthy relationships, but not only romantically. I want those with my friendships, with my colleagues. And then when it comes to guys, like, guys are just so straight men, honestly, are very toxic, especially, like, on dating apps, in the dating world. There's a lot of, like, gaslighters out here. I have had friends during the pandemic. One of my close friends was in the domestic violence situation, physically. Another one verbally. And even if we think about, like, the number one threat to women, like, it's usually their significant other. So there's this fear factor in, like, women going out even into the dating world, whatever. So there's that first layer. But it's then just all the shit with men. It's like no one's willing to go to therapy. Everyone has an issue. And, like, all the well-adjusted, great guys, they seem coupled off already. And it might be a jaded way of thinking about it, but I'm like, is there anyone even out there worth my time? I don't know. But that's also, maybe I should go to a therapist for that, because that can't be true.
No, I mean, I'm sure there's someone, but I'm kind of the same way. It's just like, until I meet that person, I'm fine. Because, you know, you were talking about how you want, like, all of your relationships to be good, not just romantic relationships. Mm-hmm. I get all of my, like, emotional needs met by, like, my female friends.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm such an open person. Like, I know a lot of people who aren't, like, I mean, God knows, I wear my heart on my sleeve. Like, if I have a thought, I'll write a fucking novel on Facebook, let people read, comment.
Oh, you're that person.
I'm that person. Yeah, I'm that obnoxious person where I'm sure I've been, like, hidden and unfriended
I'm
by
like,
a lot of people.
Oh, they going through it anyway.
Right, but that's just how I am. No, if I am going through it, like, everyone's going to know. And I think a lot of people choose not to be that open, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But I think for the people who are like that, they have to have a super close relationship, which often means a super close dating relationship to be able to open up to another person and to get that sort of emotional fulfillment.
Yeah, maybe that. You know what's so funny? Clearly, I like to tell. That's why we're on this podcast. We like to tell our business in the streets. if I'm mad, if I'm sad, if I'm happy, everyone knows about it. And it's everyone's problem in the circumference of me.
Right.
So maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
I think that being that open allows you to voice what you need and voice how you're feeling. And then your friends that care about you and, you know, like you seem like you have a good relationship with your mother. Like people like that can kind of take care of those emotional needs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people who are more reserved or closed off for whatever reason, good or bad, they're not going to be that open, so they're probably not going to get that fulfillment from their friends and family. Mm-hmm. They're really going to put all their eggs in the basket of, I need a relationship and get really close to this person and be really intimate with them to be able to open up to them, unload, and have my emotional needs met.
Oh, that's such an interesting take. I never thought about that.
So
yeah.
I think maybe that's why you and I are okay being single, because we're like willing to talk about our problems to our friends and family and like have those needs met, and we're not like, oh my God, I've got to find a man that can take this on.
Yeah, I don't need anyone to take it. So also, you know what's so funny? A part of my journey as it relates to the eating disorder, I did a lot of like meditation. That's a huge part of it. A lot of Buddhist meditation. So I went to a lot of like, I don't know, I forgot what they're called. But anyway, temples. and so one of the things, I did a lot of Buddhist teaching things, and one of the things they talked about is not putting your expectations in a relationship. And I kind of learned that early on, because I remember when I was dating that that older guy,
yeah,
that of course, like, I don't know, it was a semi-talk. He hates me, like he hasn't talked to me since we broke up. Like he just thinks I'm a toxic person. But it's like, anyway, I was like 20 and you were like 30, so like,
right,
whatever, your feelings got hurt. But anyway, but one of the things was not putting your expectations on relationships, because that was one of our problems. He wanted someone to control and mold, and he put a lot of expectations on me in a relationship. But I'm like a 20-year-old. I'm like doing study abroad. Like I'm out here like going here and there. Like I don't really care about your like 30-year-old problems at the time.
Right. Well, I mean, you can't be his best friend, his therapist, his mom at 19, 20 to this like grown adult while you're trying to like still develop as a person yourself.
Yeah, of course you hate me. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But I wish you didn't, because I literally, every ex after that, I still talk to them. Like I still talk to everyone. I don't know. I'm a Cancer, so it's like I can't part ways with people. It's like we're going to connect a few years down the road no matter what.
No, thank you.
Am I problematic for that? I just have to talk to everybody.
No, I know a lot of people, especially gay guys, that are, they'll be friends with their exes afterwards. And I'm just like, the moment it's done, it's like block, 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 unfriend.
Oh, really? No, I'm so into it.
No,
I'm so like, oh my God, we're still friends.
No.
Well, that's very interesting. The last thing I'll say about the whole dating thing, I do think a lot of women feel unfulfilled without a man or a man counterpart. And I also think that translates into, I don't know, just society in general. Like, not really here in New York City, but I've noticed, like, when I travel and stuff like that as a single woman, like, people are just always looking for, like, well, like, they want to know who my significant other is.
Right.
So I think society still validates women through who their significant other is because of, like, being assholes or whatever.
Right.
So I do think there's that, like, weird societal pressure also to be coupled off. And it's weird. It kind of translates into the gay world, too. Some of my gay friends or queer friends, it's like, even though they don't want to fit into, like, this heteronormative stereotype, it's like they almost feel like if they have, like, that picture-perfect, like, two family, we're adopting kids. It's like if they fit the mold, they'll be more accepted.
Exactly.
And I just feel like, honestly, maybe because like I feel like I'm the type of person who's just never going to do that. Like, I don't know what my relationship status will be, but I don't think it will be normal, right? Because I don't think that works for me. I just feel like everyone should just do what's best for them. Like, my parents were divorced. This is probably what I feel. I'm from a divorce home, you guys. It's probably why I feel all the way I feel. I just don't think it, like, just do what works for you. And I will say that one guy who we have both have the huge egos, I still want to sleep with him. So I will do that. But it's not going to, we're not going to work as a couple for sure, not.
Oh, see, like, I could never sleep with, like, an actual ex, which, I mean, there's only really, like, two that I would consider, like, relationship that it was ever like an actual relationship.
Okay.
So when I say ex, I'm specifically referring to those two, but like I could never do that because I would just be like sobbing during all the fucking.
Oh, that's so weird, Jeff. Who cares? I've realized, so with this particular situation, I realized I'm sexually attracted to them. I don't care about anything they have to say, but let's have the sex and then move on our separate ways. This is
You just need a fuck buddy.
Some people it's not even a fuck buddy. Some people I just get caught in my head. It's like, okay. I have to hook up with him. But like, I hate him in general, but we have to hook up and then we'll move on.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe your next therapist can help you work out that and can help, my next one can help me like work out all of this like heteronormative expectations and let go of that.
Yeah, and maybe, I don't know, maybe I need to gain some, as a hetero person, maybe I should gain some heteronormative perspective, but I'm just like, it's all stupid and trash. So
no, I think it's toxic, and especially for women who are constantly being asked like when they're gonna have a kid, and like, time's running out.
Is it? Everyone with a kid seems very stressed out, so I'd rather visit these children that, you know, that like ruined. I invited a child over my house. My apartment was, there was something on my rug. I was very disappointed by it.
Anyway. You're like, no, I'm going to set you like in a trash bag until you leave. I don't need your like carrots and whatever they eat thrown all over my apartment.
Exactly.
Oh, well, that was a good conversation. So before we go, is there anything that you're not done with?
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to bring it back to Marvel because we were talking about it earlier. I just want to say, because I feel like I talk about Marvel a lot, whatever. So I'm going to talk about every show on Marvel. So just get used to it now. So What If, right, is a Marvel series. I don't know if I talked about this before. Hopefully not.
I don't think so.
Okay,
I remember
great.
This.
You know, you just never know. I think I talk about Loki and it led into What If. Okay, great. So basically, What If is about like this Marvel series that talks about, it's about the multiverse, but it's like, what if characters took a different path? Like, what if, you know, this, let me, what if like, I don't know. I don't want to get too geeky or whatever for, you know, you laymen. But it's like, what if Tony Stark was, I don't know, a zombie? Or like, what if there was a Captain Carter? Or like, what if Doctor Strange was evil? So basically, it talks about how heroes, they're all shaped by experiences and personalities. But anything could happen to, like, shift their experiences, right?
Okay.
And these things, these possibilities all happen in the multiverse. So we're, by the time this airs, we'll probably have seen the season finale. But I don't know, do you know, like, you know, the whole, the Avengers saga, Infinity War, and all that?
I know all of the movies, but I've never watched any of the series on TV. Is this, like, a Disney Plus or a Hulu?
It's a Disney Plus moment.
Okay.
It's all on Disney Plus. But basically, it's, like, looking at the Avengers and seeing how different circumstances change them and how that matchup comes to be, like how that thing comes to be, and it's just very interesting. It's kind of building off Loki. It's going to go into Spider-Man. It's going to go into the new Doctor Strange. But basically, I just love the simple fact that Disney Plus and Marvel, whatever, Kevin Feige, giving him props again, exploring like what makes a hero, what circumstances impact people. Like there's a character named Thor, and you know he's brother to Loki. It's like what Loki's adopted. I don't know if you know that.
Vaguely remember that from
whatever
like Thor 2 or whatever.
But like, what if Loki wasn't adopted? How would that impact Thor? So I just think like most shows that I love, I just think there's great like character development and there's something to learn by how these things impact people. And like also I just love the make-believe of it all. Granted, it's all make-believe, but we have our steady timeline, which is the Marvel Universe we all know. And then there's all these multiverses. And it's exciting because you can really do this exploration of these characters. And every character kind of stays true to themselves. Like, it's... Oh, wait. You don't know who T'Challa is, but he's the Black Panther, right? And there's also Star-Lord. Anyway, Chris Pratt plays him. But it's like, what if T'Challa was Star-Lord? And, okay. Like, what if Star-Lord stayed on Earth? And, like... His dad's a god. Anyway, it's kind of confusing, but like I said, I don't want to get too geeky, but I just love the circumstances, and I'm excited to see what happens next.
Yeah, it looks like there was going to be a big, from that trailer that I mentioned at the top of this episode, the trailer for the new Spider-Man. I mean, it shows like Peter Parker's been like revealed to be Spider-Man.
That was in the last movie, yeah.
And he's getting like a lot of backlash because he's being accused of like, killing.
Trying to fuck up the world, yes.
Yeah, something that he really didn't do. And so he goes to Doctor Strange and he's like, can you do one of your spells to kind of reverse this so like most people don't know who I am? But then he's like talking over Doctor Strange while Doctor Strange is doing the spell. And eventually there's like an explosion that, and then the city's collapsing on itself. So I think that's going to be like the part of the multiverse thing.
No, most of it. So it's all going to feed. So all these shows, everything is going to feed into. This is why we love this. This is why we love this Marvel shit. Like, yeah. It's all going to feed into, yes, the movies. So with Doctor Strange, it's interesting because they're probably going to have a, it's probably going to be a, it might be a 3-part series. It might start with Spider-Man and then Doctor Strange has his own movie coming out. And then there's another movie coming out, but it's basically all going to feed into each other.
Okay.
So it's going to be really cool, and it's weird because right now in What If, I don't want to give it away, but Doctor Strange is a key character, and, you know, as with all the characters, there's multiple versions of them. So, it's like, who is Peter Parker talking to in that trailer? That's what I'm excited to learn about.
Yeah, that's interesting. So mm-hmm. We've got two Marvel movies left this year, right? We have The Eternals, and then at Christmas, we have the new Spider-Man.
Yes, The Eternals is interesting. That might play into something as well, but we'll see. I don't know.
Well, interesting. I mean, I don't know that I'll ever watch the TV series, but I will continue to see all of the movies as I have in the past.
Nice,
so,
nice.
So my thing that I'm not done with is the, I don't even know what to call it, reboot sequel of Candyman.
Oh, yeah. See, I don't watch scary movies. That's why I can't fuck with that. But I heard it was really good.
It was really good. So you didn't see the, like, 1992 one because you've always
I saw the 1992 one, and that's why I won't watch this one.
Okay. Well, I thought this one did an amazing job of tying this into the 1992 one. The Tony Todd, who is the original Candyman that's, like, you know, famous. For, like, he goes to all the conventions and stuff.
Oh, nice.
He made it a very brief appearance in this one.
Okay. He looks scary, that guy. Oof.
His eyes kind of look like hollow.
Yeah, always. So, I'm just like, I can't.
Virginia Madsen, who was in the first one as the grad student who was doing the reporting, we don't see her in this one, but she did like record like a voiceover kind of thing.
Okay.
And then what I was super excited to find out, I saw this on Friday night with my friend, and then of course like went home and dived into like IMDb and everything else. But in the 1992 version, there is a woman who plays a mother that's living at Cabrini Green, the apartments, and her baby is taken by Candyman.
Yes, I remember
and
that.
So that character came back in this new movie, but to me, she didn't really look the same. So I was like, oh, I wish they had brought. And so I look on IMDb and that was her. She it's been, you know, 30 whatever years.
Yeah,
so.
Very long time.
Yeah, so I was really excited that they brought all three of them back because that was such like a seminal film for like horror fans.
Mm-hmm.
But they did such a good job with this one, and it's about gentrification, it's about police violence, it's about racism. You know, it's a predominantly Black cast.
Mm-hmm.
They did a really good job of making sure any sort of violence against black people was either done through shadow puppets on a wall or it was sort of like off screen and you kind of see like the after effects of it.
Okay.
They were very careful to not do like the black torture porn that we're used to seeing in horror movies. Yeah. And the director is Nia DaCosta, and she, I forget the exact phrasing of this, but essentially she is the first black woman director to have a movie go number one opening weekend.
Oh, yes, I heard about that. And I was like, damn it, I wish I watched scary movies.
I heard about that too. And like, I didn't know how long it was going to take my back to recover to go see it. And I was like, honest to God, should I just like buy a ticket that no one uses to like support this?
Yeah, no, it's true.
But thank God I was able to catch it this past Friday. So at this point, it's been out, I think, for 5 weeks. Mm. But it was just really good. I talked to one other friend who had seen it, and they thought it was a little, they wished it had been more like subtle with all of this stuff about like racism, gentrification, and
were
police
they
violence.
White?
They were white, so I mean,
I feel like white people always saying that anyway.
Well, I mean, I will say that it was very like direct and like, you know, because Jordan Pill was one of the three co-writers of the screenplay. And so, you know, like everything in Get Out was so like subtle. Like, I mean, it had those
was
same.
It?
Well, I mean, more so. It wasn't as spelled out as it was
in
this one. Like, you know, at the end of Get Out, when the police car pulls up, they're not like, oh, white police always kill black people. You just like intuitively know that that's what that scene is
about.
Okay,
yes, of course.
this was very discussed among like the characters, and there was no way, like, I feel like at the end of Get Out, to like understand all the levels, you had to read one of those think pieces. Mm. You didn't have to do that at the end of this one.
Okay, no, that's interesting. I think for black people, Get Out was obvious. I think when black people talk about police violence, we do talk about it like overtly.
Okay.
We're like, oh, the white people here, they're trying to lock us up. Like, we're very obvious. So I haven't seen it though. So I don't
know. But maybe that's more true to life then.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. So. I haven't seen the movie, but is it scary? That's all I want to know. Because I won't watch it if it is. Did you?
It's scary.
Oh, yeah. I'm not
I was like trying to like find a way to tell you it wasn't, but no.
Damn, I'm not watching that. Anyway.
but no, it's very good. So, like, I mean, by the time this episode goes up, I don't know if it'll still be in theaters, but definitely for anyone who's not like too scared to see horror movies, do like that at home rental video on demand kind of thing.
Okay. Damn it. I wish I could watch it anyway.
Yeah. So I think we're done here, right?
Yeah, we're done here.
All right, guys, come back next week because it's going to be our season finale.
Oh.
So that's exciting. We're going to try and make it, I don't know, really interesting, really funny. So be sure to join us next week for the season finale. In the meantime, go to at We're Done Here Pod on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, assuming that they get those websites working again. You can always email us at weredoneherePod@gmail.com. And, of course, we always want to thank Yoshinori747 for letting us use her music as our theme music. The name of that song is Happy Face Version 2. You can head to her SoundCloud to check out that song and all of her other stuff. And until then, we're done here.